Lord Jesus, I come into your presence right now. I ask you to just pour yourself through me today with this word you've given me. And I ask you to give us all ears to hear what your Spirit would speak unto each one of us, that we might move and be a part of whatever you desire us to be, Father, and that we might fulfill the will of God in the earth today, Father. Thank you for what you're going to do. I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. In the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen and amen. The title to my sermon today is The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory. You know, a few weeks ago I spoke to you about the Word of God, and we did the Lord's Prayer. And remember at the last thing, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. That's the last line of that prayer that Jesus taught them. And I'm going to start off reading in Romans 8:1. This is out of the Phillips New Testament translation. It says, no condemnation now hangs over the head of those who are in Jesus Christ. For the new spiritual principle of life in Christ lifts me out of the old vicious circle of sin and death. Now, you know, there's nothing wrong with talking about sin. And there's nothing wrong with talking about death. But what we really need to be talking about is life. Because that's what he's lifted us out of, sin and death. And when he's lifted us out of sin and death, we need to talk about life. And we need to be life givers, and we need to be life encouragers. And I think when we do that, it's going to please God. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way, there is no other truth, and there is no other life. He is it. Praise God. And thank God that we know that, because a lot of people out in the world today will try to tell you they're the way. Well, I got news for you. They're not. Only he's the way. A lot of people will try to tell you, I'm telling the truth. And they'll be lying through their teeth when they say it, because they're not telling the truth. And a lot of people will be talking about, I'll make things better. Life will get better. Well, I tell you what, only person to make life better is Jesus Christ. Praise God. And when we hear everybody else saying these things, we need to step back and say, we know the way, the truth, and the life, and it's in the person of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. Romans 8:5, and this is the Phillips New Testament translation too, it says, the carnal attitude sees no farther than the natural things, but the spiritual attitude reaches out after the things of the Spirit. The former attitude means bluntly death, and the latter means life and inward peace. And this is only to be expected, for the carnal attitude is inevitably opposed to the purposes of God and can neither nor will be or follow his laws for living. Men who hold this attitude cannot please God. And you know what? Part of when you begin to grow up in God, you know, one time years ago, the Lord gave me a message out of Romans, the 12th chapter. And he talked about, you know, about the good, the perfect, and the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God, you know, back there. And years ago, when the Lord had me study into that, the good will means the acceptable will. It means the beneficial will, you know. And when we first get saved, we start learning about the benefits of being in Christ. That word actually means beneficial, good. And the acceptable means well-pleasing. And you know, just like the scripture that I just read to you here, where it said you can't please God when you're in that situation. But I got news for you. He wants you to be well-pleasing, and he wants you to know that you are well-pleasing in his sight, and that he loves you, and that he's placed his Spirit within you, and he wants to bring you on into his perfect will, which is, his perfect will is a full-aged man. He wants you to grow. That word means full-aged man. It means full-age. And when you come into that place of his perfect will, you'll be able grown to a place where you can start setting creation free. because you'll be standing in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that's what we need to, cry out to the Lord. Lord, please come and please make that a reality in our day, where there's people who stand in that likeness and that image. Praise God. And I'm going to read that to you again out of verse 5. It says, "For the carnal attitude sees no farther than natural things, but the spiritual attitude reaches out after the things of the Spirit. The former attitude means bluntly death. The latter means life and in inward peace. And this is only to be expected, for the carnal attitude is inevitably opposed to the purpose of God, and neither can nor will follow His laws for living. Men who hold this attitude cannot possibly please God." You know, I don't know if I should mention this person's name or not, gave me a book a couple weeks ago and asked me to take a look at it and tell her what I thought about it. And, you know, just the title of the book was enough. You know, some of the things in the book was political things and all that. And I, you know, I try not to get too political in things. I try to stay away from that as much as I can. But I loved the title, for the title was "The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory" of this book. That was the title of this book. And, you know, the kingdom, the power, and glory. And thinking about this title, the kingdom of God, doesn't come with observation. A lot of people are standing back and saying, "Oh, Lord, let me see your kingdom come." Remember the prayer? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You know, we need to pray that His kingdom come, but where it's going to come at is in you. Because it doesn't come with observation. You know, the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus told them that, you know. And they're still looking for it to come out there in the natural. But where it's going to come first, it has to come in a people. We have to desire to have the kingdom of God functioning inside of us. And when we have that, then all of a sudden the rest of these things will fall into order. And that's what it's going to take. You know, when we let outside things influence us, our attitudes and our motivations, then we're not really functioning from the kingdom of God. We're functioning from the carnal man. And the carnal man is an enmity against God. It's against God. It's against the things of God. You know, Matthew 6:33 says this, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And that's talking about there, if you read the rest of that chapter, it's talking about natural things, but it's also talking about spiritual things. You know, we need to seek God's kingdom. We need to say, "Lord, let your kingdom come inside of me." When it comes inside of me and you set as king on the throne in my life completely, then everything else will fall into the position it's supposed to fall into. Praise God. And if Matthew 6:33 says this, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." In John 18:36, Jesus said, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." Quit trying to make His kingdom be of this world. It's not. There's no political leaders or nobody out there that's going to lead us into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has to come inside of us, folks. And until it comes inside of the hearts of people, everything that everybody says out there, it doesn't make no difference. It's not going to make it happen. It has to happen in here. And once it happens in here, inside of each one of us, the kingdom will automatically fall into right perspective. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here," basically. Romans 14:17-18 says this, "For the kingdom of God is not meat or drink." Now here's what the kingdom of God really is. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now anything beyond that, that's not the kingdom of God. He's giving you a definition here of the kingdom of God. That's what it is. For the kingdom of God is not meat or drink. It's not natural things. It's not cars. It's not houses. It's not golden things. It's not silver things. But it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy. And you know where that righteousness comes from? He imparts it to us. He puts it inside of us. We're not righteous in our own self. Our righteousness is as filthy rags to the Lord. But I tell you what, the righteousness He imparts into us is His righteousness. And it's His peace. And it's His joy. And it's His Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost inside of us. For that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. You want to have the approval of men? Start letting the approval of God come inside of you. They won't be able to do nothing but approve of you. Because what will happen is they'll see that love of God, that peace of God, that joy of God, all of those things inside of you. That's what will change people's minds. Not anybody saying a bunch of high-minded things that's not going to happen, you know. But actually the Spirit of God dwelling inside of people and starting to begin to show the peace of God, the love of God, the joy of God, you know. It says, the power of God has all power because He is sovereign. He is in control. These are things I wrote down here. You know, a lot of people have a problem with believing in the sovereignty of God. I'm going to tell you what, He's sovereign. He's in control. You might not think He is. Man's the one that's out of control. It's not God. You know, and I'm going to read it to you again. The power of God, He has all power because He's sovereign. He's in control of everything, whether you believe it or you don't. It doesn't make a difference because it's true. All things, and I believe you might have quoted this last week, brother, in your sermon. All things were made by Him. By who? By God. By Jesus Christ. And for Him. It's all been made for Him. And without Him was there not anything made that is made. And Scripture goes on and says, and in Him is life. He is before all things, and all things consist by Him. You know, I told you all I like science. I've always liked science. Science always was so easy for me in school, I didn't even have to try. It just all fell into position. But I think what it was I realized there's some power behind everything that happens. Science tries to explain it in the natural. But I'm going to tell you what, it really needs to be explained in the spiritual. Because the natural things, the natural things declare the things of the Spirit. But most scientists are too blind to see it and to understand it. And you know, I was watching them talk about this James Webb telescope. And Margaret comes upstairs a lot of times when I go to bed. I usually go up a little earlier than she is, and I'm usually watching this thing on YouTube where they're showing all these stars and showing these things that this telescope's showing. And I listen to them talk, and they talk about they're finding out that there's an order to all this, and it's like a pattern and all this kind of stuff. And they said they're trying to figure out what's keeping it all together. There's like a they're talking about dark matter, dark power or something, you know, that kind of thing. And they can't see it with the telescope. They don't know what it is. If they'd asked me, I'd tell them what it is. It's God. Because all things consist by Him. He's holding it all together. He's the one that created the universes. He's everywhere. He holds it all together. Without Him, it would all explode and fall apart. You know, they're so smart that they're stupid. If they'd read the Bible, they'd know what it is. You know, but He is before all things, and all things consist by Him. By Him, so if you have an attitude any different than that, then you're operating in the carnal mind. He's in control of it all. Not of the mind of the Spirit or in the power of God. The church sometimes is very powerless because they don't believe the truth of the Word of God. Until we repent and start believing what the Word declares about Him, that He is in control and there's no mistakes in God. God don't make mistakes. A lot of us think, oh God, how could you let this happen? When we should be saying, oh God, what are you trying to show me in this situation, in this circumstance? And He's usually trying to show you something if you'll open your eyes and see it. And He doesn't make no mistakes in God. He doesn't make mistakes. The only one who makes mistakes is us. Because we don't believe and we think we're smarter than He is. You ever try to tell God what He should do and what He shouldn't do? I'm going to tell you what, if you're doing that, I hate to tell you, it don't work. You can't tell God what He should and shouldn't do. He knows what He can do and knows what He's going to do. We think we're smarter than God. And anybody who thinks this is only in foolish folly. Foolish folly. You're being foolish. You can't tell God what to do. You're not smarter than Him. Praise God. Matthew 28:18 says this, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." How much is all power? All power. Think about that. All power. There is no power that He isn't in control of. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In John 1:11 through 14 says this, "He came unto His own, and His own received Him not." And that's talking about the Jews, because He came to the Jews first. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name." And I believe it even is really would be a better translation if they said "him that believed into His name." Because you don't just believe on it, you begin to believe into His name. You know, He's in us. We have to start believing that we're in Him. And until we believe we're in Him also, we don't have that full circle there. Praise God. "Which were born not of blood." Bless God, don't you know, Oscar? My family's my blood. I got news for you, folks. You were born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Your family ain't your blood no more. They're precious people in God, people you should pray for and people you should love. But this says, "Which were born not of blood, nor will of the flesh, nor will of man, but of God." When you were born again, you were born of God. And I like what it says in Ephesians. It says, we've been adopted into the very family circle of God. You've been adopted. He's given you His name. He's given you His nature. He's given you His character, if you believe it. If you don't, guess what? You're going to walk lower than that. You're going to move lower than that. The word there for power, and this word happens a lot of different times. A lot of people quote the scripture where there's one word for power that means dunamis, where they get the word dynamite. I think Brother might have mentioned that last week, I think, in his sermon. But the word here for power is the word exousia in Greek. It's a different word, exousia. I'm going to read you what exousia means. Exousia means a sense of ability. It means privilege. You know, you have a great privilege. You're privileged above anybody else in the world that doesn't know Jesus Christ, because you know Him. That's a great privilege. And you not only know Him, you're a part of Him. And it means the force. I love that. I used to like to watch them Star Wars movies. And Luke Skywalker, when he went out to fight with the enemies, they'd always say, the force be with you. Well, you know what? I don't know if Steven Spielberg or whatever the other guy's name was that wrote the Star Wars, if he knew that the force was in, that word for force was in Scripture, but it is. It's the word exousia, and it means force. And you know, when Luke Skywalker would go out and he had the force of the light force, and the other guy had the dark force, and the light force always overcame the dark force. And you know, that's the way it is in life, folks. You'll always be an overcomer as long as the power of God dwells in you. No matter what's happening, even if it seems like everything in your this natural life is falling apart, I got news for you. We got a house not made with hands. And this house I'm talking about is not this fleshly house here, but it's a spiritual house. There's a spiritual man inside of you that when this thing gets old enough and starts falling apart, it steps right out into the presence of God. That's the inner man, the hidden man of the heart. Praise God. And it means capacity, it means competency, it means freedom. Wow. It means mastery, it means superhuman. Superhuman. When the power of God is in you, it's superhuman. We all like those superheroes. We liked Superman, and we liked all those Marvel characters that were supposed to be super beings and all that. Some of them won the fights, and some of them lost the fight. I got news for you. In Christ, you're more than a conqueror through Him that loved you. You never lose the fight. You always win in Him. Praise God. It means potentate. It means a token of control. It means delegated, influence, authority, jurisdiction, liberty, power, right strength. You know what? I don't care how weak you feel, how bad you feel. The Word of God declares His strength is made where? Perfect in what? In weakness. Let the weak say what? Scripture says, I'm strong. Why are you strong? You're strong because of God, not because of you. I don't care how weak you feel. I don't care how beat down you feel like you are today. Start claiming what the Word declares about you. Let the weak say, I'm strong. And start moving in the strength of the Holy Spirit, not in your natural strength, because your natural strength will fail you. But His strength will never fail you. It's always there. Praise God. The next one is glory. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise God. The glory, there's no greater glory than the glory of God. Only He can impart His glory. Only He can. You can say, oh God, make me glorious, make me glorious. But until He imparts it to you, you're just wasting your breath. But I tell you what, listen to the rest. To someone else, He has said, I will not give my glory to another. You have to realize that you're not another. You have to start claiming your birthright in Christ. You have to start claiming who you are. Quit walking around in mistaken identity. Don't walk around in the identity of Adam anymore. Adam fell. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says the first man was of the earth, earthly, a natural man. It said the second Adam was the Lord from heaven. As we've bore the image of the earthly, we need to bear the image of the heavenly. Until you start believing that you're going to bear that image and that image is inside of you, you're not going to walk in it. As long as you function in the mind of the Spirit, you realize that you're not another, as long as you function in the mind of the Spirit. If you're not functioning in the mind of the Spirit, the glory that you're taking is your glory and not His. And I tell you what, he's the only one that needs to receive glory. Praise God. We need to know that Jesus said, the glory that you've given to me, I've given to them. Who's he talking about? Hello, them. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's given you his glory. He said, now glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. The glory he had with the Father before the world was is that he was God. He was the Word of God, the thoughts, the intentions, and the purposes of God. He was all there is, all things. Now, I love this, and I wrote this down, and you know, these are the things that the Lord gave me when I was looking at these scriptures here. He took on flesh that we might take on the mind of the Spirit. He was rich in knowledge of God, and being God, he became poor, moving into the realm of the flesh, that we might become rich in the mind of the Spirit. Praise God. You know, the Lord gave me a poem one time, rich was he, yet poor he became, for he loved you so much that he even bore your shame. For not only did he die upon Calvary's tree, but he left the splendor of heaven to set all captives free. For the sacrifice he made was one without compare, for he left the glory of heaven, his love for all to share. Praise God. And you ask, oh, how do I receive this gift? For my answer is simple, you see, for if by faith you'll humble your heart, you'll receive peace and harmony. And that's what he wants to give you, folks. Praise God. So don't let outside things influence you, but go within and ask God to reveal to you. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And anybody else that's claiming to be the way, they're not the way. Or that's claiming to be the truth, they're not the truth. Or that's claiming to be the life, they're not the life. Only he is. And you partake of that because of what dwells inside of you. Praise God. And everybody else who's trying to take his place, acting like they're the way, the truth, or the life, is a counterfeit, I've got written down here. God rises up authorities and he puts them down. And the sooner we come to the realization of that, we'll be way ahead of the game and we will not be opposing the things of God. You know, there was a controversy in the church one time years ago, and the Lord had made some changes, you know, and this one person was trying to talk me out of these changes, and this was something that the elders had decided back then, and this person was trying to talk me out of these changes, and, oh, you must have misunderstood, and all this kind of stuff. And I said, you know, and I talked to this person on the phone for probably an hour and a half, you know, and I listened to everything they had to say, and then finally I had to say to the person, I said, look, I said, if what's about to happen is what God wants to happen, I said, don't fight against the things of God because you will lose. You're fighting a losing battle. I said, but if it's not of God, I said, it'll fall to the ground. I said, God knows what he's doing. You know, and so many times we try to be God's counselor. We don't need to be his counselor. We need to be his listener. Things that we don't understand and we don't know, we need to get before him and say, Lord, what would you have me do in this situation? And you know what? Don't do nothing until he tells you. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we find ourselves out doing something, and then later on we get down the road and we think, oh, God, I made a mess of this. I shouldn't have been doing that. You know what? The only good thing about it is he loves you enough that even when you make a mess, he'll teach you some truths and he'll teach you that you should have went to him first. And I told you the story about my mother's friend, Christine, that her husband, Ralph, he had sugar diabetes really bad. I mean, really bad. And he had an episode where, I guess, I don't know exactly what happened, but anyway, he had an episode, and she tried everything she knew to do to try to bring him out of it. And she is a Christian woman. And she said he just was not coming out of this situation. And when you have those bad situations, you can die from that. I mean, you know, it can kill you. And she said all of a sudden she felt the voice of the Lord say to her, "Why don't you try me?" And then she started praying for him, and he popped right up out of there, you know. And we have a tendency, we try everything else first, and we need to go to God first. And maybe God was letting her, everything that she was doing, fail, and wanting her to see that it was going to fail, so that when she called upon the name of the Lord, what's the scripture say? They that call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Doesn't it say saved? Call upon his name in situations. Ask him. You ain't smarter than him. You don't know more than he does. I mean, how many times have you prayed and said, "Oh, Lord, don't you know this is happening, or don't you know that's happening, or what about my loved one?" He knows all of that stuff. You don't even have to tell him. You just need to be praying, "God, let your anointing rest over my family," and pray however he has you pray by the Holy Spirit. That's the most important thing. Praise God. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. And, you know, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And amen. You know what amen means? Really actually means? So be it. So be it. And it's time for us to get in agreement with the Lord on all situations and all circumstances and quit trying to be his counselor and quit trying to tell him what he should do and he shouldn't do. And, "Oh, God, I can't believe you let this happen or you let that happen." Well, know what? You don't know the whole ins and outs of everything that happens. He does. He knows exactly what was happening. And praise God, until we come to the realization that he's in control, he knows what he's doing, and we start resting in him. In him. Praise God. That's all I had to share with you. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. If anybody has anything they want to say or anything they want to add, you feel free before we close. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, that name above all names, thank you, Father, that you are in control. And when I preach to people out there, Father, I'm not just talking to them. I'm talking to me, too. You know, I'm talking to myself to just acknowledge you in all of our ways that we might exalt you in all of our ways, that we might be on the path that you'd have us be on. Walk the walk that you'd have us be on. Be in the light as you're in the light. You are the very light, Father. Thank you for what you're doing. I ask you to just bless your people. I give you all praise. I give you all glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if anybody wants prayer or anything, we'd be glad to pray with you. God bless you.